Pierre, can you start with just telling me a little bit about your training, where you were trained and how you came to work at CDC?
So I was trained as a physician in France. I went to medical school in Montpellier, and then after that went to work in Pasteur Institute in Paris on mostly rabies, but a little bit of hemorrhagic fever, and I did there a training on virology, bacteriology, immunology, public health.
And how did you happen to come to CDC?
I came for a year as a postdoc, NRC postdoc at Fort Detrick to work on RNA virus at that time, but then Ebola Reston happened at that time, so I switched to Ebola Reston. After a year, Pasteur Institute asked me to come back home, but at that time, Fort Detrick had some change, and C.J. Peters and Tom Kaiser came to CDC, and they called me and asked me if I want to come.
So you've been here since what year?
I arrived in 92.
Okay. 2 years after I got here. And
I met you, the first time I met you was at the only time I met you was at the award, HHS award for in 96 for the 95 Kikwit outbreak, and you were seated by me. You had an award for TB at that time.
I didn't go.
I thought someone was there.
Someone went for
on the list. On the list. On the list, there was your name after me
On
the list of the recipient.
All right. So let's just talk a little bit about your experience with Ebola. When you dealt with Ebola Reston, and then when was the first time you went into the field for Ebola?
The first time was in '95 during the Kikwit outbreak in DRC, and we went with a team of CDC. At that time, we took care of patients. MSF was not yet in the field. They helped us to do all the supply, all the plastic, all the protection, but we took care of patients with Philippe Callin that now is MSF Geneva.
How many patients were in that outbreak?
Oh, there were several hundred, but when we arrived, the hospital was completely devastated. There was dead people everywhere, sick people, and the main thing we did at the beginning was cleaning the ward and removing the bodies and using all the skill that we have to train people, also nurses and physicians, because everybody was scared.
Mm. And have you had the experience of using survivors as part of the care teams in the past?
No, at that time, no, because there was no, very few survivors, and the one that survived ran away, didn't want to come back. But we used survivor after 2000, after the Gulu outbreak, where we had some nurse that was sick and survived, and they were used there, and met them again in 2007 during the Bundibugyo outbreak, where they were used there, and so we use them as communication mostly to explain to the people the risk and.
In the past outbreaks, what have you found to be turning points in terms of beginning to get a handle on the cases?
I think when we start to have a good treatment center, even if at that time we had really very little treatment in Kikwit, we didn't even do any perfusion because there was 70 healthcare workers that died during that outbreak, and we didn't want to have extra needle going around. Mm. So we were very limited at that time. But as soon as you have something in place where the patient are not afraid to come, that start to be better. Then you have to fight with the local tradition, but that's a real important thing, to have a good place.
Great, thank you. And you've seen big changes in our understanding of Ebola and our ability to test for it.
Yeah, we developed, again, during the Kikwit outbreak, we ran all this outbreak without any lab. We kept the specimen, we sent them back at the end of the outbreak, we brought them back with us. I brought them back with me in the plane at that time. But we ran all the outbreak without any lab, but just by being very strict on the contact and the follow-up of the contact, and that was able. Now we have a lab in place, which is a huge help to distinguish and remove the suspect from the confirmed or the probable.
And I guess it was really those outbreaks that helped us learn about bushmeat and bats and
healthcare. And healthcare, and also not only Ebola, but also with Marburg virus, because we had a small outbreak in 2008 in the mine, in the gold mine.
In Uganda?
In Uganda. First in DRC in 2000. But also in Uganda in 2008, where no, it was 2007. I mix all my outbreak. Where we had very few cases, but we had time to collect bats during the mine where the people were working, and we were able to, for the first time, to isolate a virus from a bat.
Have we found? Has anyone found Ebola virus in the current outbreak in bats?
No. There is only very few data on bats and Ebola. A team in Gabon captured a lot of bats and found some DNA or RNA piece in bat collected. The problem with the bat involved in Ebola, we think, are bats that live in trees, not in mine, so they're difficult to catch. Mm. In large number to be able to find.
But Marburg we found in Python Cave.
Yeah, but in Python Cave it's much easier because you can capture hundreds of bats in few hours and test all of them.
Which you did. You're on the cover of our book, huh?
Yeah, I've done that too, yeah.
So about 350 journal article publications. That's a big number. You're very productive, and you have a big group that you work with.
I have a big team. I always work in a team, and I consider that the team is most important. And when you look at my paper, I'm rarely in the first author. I'm very often in the middle because I think other people have to shine.
So you worked on the Sinombre virus. You worked on Marburg. You worked on
Nipah.
Nipah and Lassa.
We discover a lot of emerging infection in the branch.
Yeah.
But that, because it was set up that way with very classical method of virology, and Tom Kaizak, the previous branch chief, is the one that put in place that very rigorous way of detecting virus before the new method.
Mm. Can you point to one or two projects or articles or that you've done that you found particularly rewarding and encouraging, exciting?
That's difficult. I think some on Ebola clinical, like the one we did in Kikwit, where we analyzed with Philippe Callin all the, I think it was 100 cases of Ebola with all the signs, symptoms, and method. I'm always interested in developing good tools to make the diagnostic at the right time. Mm-hmm. So that was very interesting. Sinombre, also the discovery was nice because in a week we discovered that it was an hantavirus, a new hantavirus. We found the reservoir and we make the link between the strain in the reservoir and the patient. That was very a good combination of epidemiology and lab work.
Great. And have you gotten very involved in either the therapeutics or the vaccine work?
No, we did some experiments on vaccine at the time with NIH, but then the problem we have is that we involve in a lot of small outbreak here and there, and to do that kind of research, you have to be able to be focused on that research and not being disturbed by other outbreak or other emergency. So we did a little bit and then we stopped. Therapeutic, no, we start to have a program in the branch, but again, it requires some long-term commitment that is difficult with all the emergency that we have.
I was in India recently and they were discussing the really difficult situation with the Kyasanur forest disease. Vaccine. It's a terrible vaccine.
It's a terrible vaccine based on a long study. I think there's no real progress since it was done by the Rockefeller Foundation in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. And let's move to the current outbreak. So when did you first, had you been to Guinea before? And when did you first go, and what did you find when you got there?
We had a program in Guinea in the late 90s on Lassa fever. We were working at that time. CDC has a group in Sierra Leone, but the political situation was so bad that we had to leave, and we went in Guinea. So we had for 10 years a program on Lassa virus in the exactly the same area where we had Ebola virus now.
That tri-country area?
Yes, it's exactly the same. The Mano River triangle, that's where both viruses exist. So I was there at that time. And then when we heard about the outbreak, obviously that French-speaking people, so I was interested in going there. And the outbreak started in Guinea, so that was the beginning.
So when did you arrive, and what did you find when you got
there? My first tour was in, I arrived the 1st of April for the outbreak, and the first thing is try to organize and also bring some common sense and knowledge to the people. It was the first time for this country, so they have no idea what Ebola was, what kind of response you should have, what you should do or not do. So it was trying to explain to the people what to do in which condition, and having past experience with patient treatment, epidemiology, ecology, so it was easy for me to understand. I had no problem to explain that, and we got great support from the U.S. Embassy to open the door for us.